Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. And today we find ourselves back in the letter of Paul to the Colossians, and we find ourselves in chapter 2. What we see is that Paul is very committed to seeing maturity in the life of the believers. And he says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. He's continuing really the theme that he ended chapter 1 with, of just earnestly desiring that believers don't settle for less than what God has provided. They don't settle for less understanding. They don't settle for less experience. There is more. There is a completeness. There is a hidden treasure to be discovered. And he's urging the believers to do that. He also says in verse 6, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. I think that's quite a pivotal verse in the sense that he would, if he was in debate, he would say, well, how did you receive Christ? How did it all begin? And, of course, the answer would be something like this. Well, it was an act of faith. I just gave my life to Jesus. Didn't fully understand all that would mean. But it was just simple. It was childlike. It was obedient. Christ wanted my life. He died for me. I gave my life to him. And Paul is saying, and that's exactly how you grow and develop. There's no other secret, there's no other mysterious way that you've got to discover. Just that simple, childlike faith that received Jesus in the first place, well, you continue to receive understanding, the word, way he wants you to live. It's going to be in exactly the same vein, simple trust. He then makes a comment about baptism. I like the word in verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism. Because the whole sense of the old life, and with all its weaknesses and with all its failings and under judgment, he's saying that's been buried. You know, that's been put to death. And you've now got a new life. You've got a brand new start. And He gives us, which I think is a fairly sort of glorious statement. It's something that's so compacted that you could take ages to unravel it. But he talks about having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross, disarmed the powers and authorities, a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Well, this is very powerful language. And as I've said, there's just so much there. But just such a clear statement in essence, which is Jesus has done it all. In the cross, he's defeated Satan. He's disarmed him. He's dealt with all the things that would be shouting against us if we were in a court of law, all the charges that would come against us. And he's saying Jesus has swept them all to one side. You haven't got to be trucked up with it, bothered by it anymore. And so he continues, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual force of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? He's already having a bit of a crack at the legalism and the things that crush and destroy the life of Christ. And he's urging, yes, morality, purity, but freedom in Christ. Well, we must pause. We're going to have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join us to have another look at Colossians chapter 2.
Change.
Listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at the letter to the Colossians, chapter 2. And Richard, as we look at this book, there's a lot of quite deep teaching here that, you know, in many ways is quite difficult to grasp and to understand, but we'll try and do a bit. In verse 2, I wanted to pick up this idea that Paul wants to teach people so that they have complete understanding and know the mystery of God. That seems a very big ambition and a very big thing to reach. Is it possible that we can really know the mystery of God?
I think that we can know a progression of the mystery unravelling. When we are with the Lord, everything will fall into place. But again, I think it's just this healthy and determined emphasis that Paul doesn't want them to be shortchanged.
Mm.
You know, if there's more, you should know it.
Mm.
And that's his heart. And of course, he was an excellent teacher, and he would have taught in the Jewish tradition of like a dog chewing a bone. There wouldn't be much left. You know, everything would be chewed on and devoured, and that was his approach.
Yeah. When we looked at chapter 1, one of the major themes in there was about the question of whether Christ was God. And I see it comes here again, I notice in verse 9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." He's really saying that, isn't he? That Christ is God, they are one and the same.
That's right. That's right. He will keep emphasizing it because we have to face the fact that lies are often repeated. People don't normally tell a lie once. They will go on and on and on. And so he's not ashamed to repeat truth and to emphasize truth.
Because I suppose if we were saying that Christ wasn't God, that pretty much nullifies the whole Christian message, doesn't it?
It does. It would totally undermine it, and there'd be nothing really of great significance. It would just be another. But no, the fact that Jesus is God just makes the whole thing a unique, special consideration.
I want to pick up a couple of other themes that come out in this chapter. Firstly, in verse 14, where he talks about having cancelled the written code. It seems to be about, you know, rules and regulations being sort of swept away. Are we to understand that in terms of the fact that the Jews had rules and regulations that are swept away, or does the same thing apply today in some way?
I think that it's really dealing with the issue that the way that people could show they would please God was to do everything he required. But the gospel says, though we still must desire to do everything that God requires, our acceptance will never be based on everything being done right by us, because we just keep failing. However, because Christ kept the law, then if we trust truly in Christ, then the acceptance he has will be granted to us.
And there's another verse, verse 20, "Since you died with Christ," that idea, that concept, sounds very final, doesn't it? You died with Christ. What does it actually mean? In what way did an individual die with Christ?
I think that it goes back to the fact that we would say that sin came into the world through one man, through Adam. Salvation comes into the world through one man who is God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we receive Christ, the Adam, the old man, has come to an end. And now the new man, Christ, is the one predominant in our lives. And therefore, we're not under Adam anymore and all the obligations that he had. We are in Christ. We are truly free.
Certainly is deep stuff. Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the letter to the Colossians in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.